Well, there was a little boy who wanted a brand new bicycle for his birthday, so he decided to pray to God that God would send him a new bicycle. So he decided to write a letter to Jesus, and he wrote, "Dear Jesus, if you give me a new bicycle for my birthday, I will be good for 3 months." And he thought after a little while, "Oh, that's much too difficult," so he crossed that out. And then he said, "Dear Jesus, if you give me a new bicycle for my birthday, I will be good for 1 month." He thought about that and he said, "Oh, that's way too difficult." So he crossed that out. Then he had an idea. He went over to the shelf, took the statue of the Blessed Mother, put it in a pillowcase, tied it up, went over to the closet, stood in a chair, put it on the top shelf of the closet, got down from the chair, closed the door, locked the closet door, and sat down and wrote this letter. "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again..." Now, there are proper ways to pray, and there are not proper ways to pray. In today's gospel, we learn the proper way to pray. One of Jesus' disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." You know, John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray, "Lord, teach us to pray." We all have that desire in our hearts to learn how to pray, because that's how we become in contact with God. That's how we become in union with the Lord, is through prayer, through conversation with the Lord. And so what does Jesus respond? How does Jesus teach his disciples how to pray? He gives us the Our Father, which is called the Lord's Prayer, the greatest prayer ever composed, because it's composed by the Son of God himself. It's the perfect prayer, the perfect model and pattern for all of our prayers. If you want to read one of the most beautiful descriptions of the Our Father, read the Catechism of the Catholic Church that came out about 20 years ago. The final section is on prayer. And the Catechism goes through every single line, every verse of the Our Father, and teaches us what each of those verses mean. And it is, of course, the greatest prayer. Teresa of Avila says, "If you want to learn how to pray, say one Our Father." But then she said, "And take an hour to pray it." 1 hour. Each phrase, meditate upon each phrase of the Our Father for a few moments, and you'll learn how to pray. See, the Our Father is the perfect prayer because it contains praise and worship of God. It contains intercession and asking God to forgive our sins, complete trust in the Lord. We have petitions in the Our Father. See, the Our Father contains really the summary of the Gospels in that one prayer. We pray to our Father with this childlike trust and confidence, calling God Abba, which means Father, Papa. And we pray that God's name may be respected and he'll be honored and glorified throughout the world, that his kingdom will come and his will be done. And then we pray for our needs, our daily bread. This includes our spiritual and our material needs. It's an act of contrition because we say, "God, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against others." And then we pray for what we need, petitions, that our sins will be forgiven. We pray that we'll not be put to the test, we'll not be led into temptation, that we'll be delivered from evil. This prayer is an exorcism prayer, deliver us from every evil. So the Our Father is the greatest prayer. It's something we should say with devotion and really reflection when we say this prayer every day. But then the Lord, after he gives them the Our Father, he then gives a teaching about one of the qualities of prayer, and that is perseverance. See, when you read the lives of the saints, they tell us that we should always pray with perseverance, that we should never give up. The saints also tell us we should pray with humility. Never pray with pride or arrogance, but pray with humility. Pray with confidence. But above all, persevere in your prayer. And the Lord himself gives us an example. He gives us a little story about some surprise visitors that show up at midnight, and the person who receives them has no food. So he's going to go to his neighbor to borrow some food, a couple loaves of bread. And he bangs on the door of his neighbor. The neighbor says, "Go away, we're already in bed." And Jesus says, even though the guy won't open up and give him the bread because of friendship, he'll do it because of perseverance and persistence. Because if the person outside keeps knocking on the door, the guy inside is not going to get any sleep anyway. He might as well get up and just give him what he wants so he can go back to bed. So Jesus gives us that little example of prayer. Keep praying, keep persevering. And then he says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. In the Greek language that the New Testament was written in, those verbs ask, seek, knock are all in a continual sense, a continual phrase. So Jesus says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Those words indicate that it's something that we have to keep doing. So keep praying. So perseverance, of course, is a great quality. It's one of the great qualities of success. You know, at the end of his life, someone asked Winston Churchill what his great, what was his advice to people on how to have a successful life. And somebody said, "What is the secret of your success?" He said, "I can summarize it in 7 words. Never give up. Never, never give up." There it is. One of the keys to success in the world and one of the keys to success in the spiritual life is perseverance at prayer. Again, perseverance, again, one of those keys to success. If you read the great classic that came out, I think, in the 1930s by Napoleon Hill called Think and Grow Rich. Many of you have probably read that. It really started a great success movement. What he says, that is one of the 13 keys to success. He talks about faith, desire, and one whole chapter, excellent chapter on perseverance. And one of the examples he uses is the digging of a gold mine, a true story of these people who had a gold mine, and they kept digging and digging and drilling, never struck gold. They sold it, I think, for like $7,000. The new owner came in, dug 3 more feet, and struck one of the largest gold mines in the history of the world. 3 more feet. Maybe in our prayers, we stop 3 feet short of success, right? Sometimes we give up praying, we stop praying for something. And we shouldn't, because we could just be 3 feet from striking gold spiritually if we continue to persevere. And when you read, you know, some of the great stories for example, Thomas Edison, took him 10,000 experiments to find the perfect filament for the light bulb. And after about 10,000 tries, a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Edison, you have failed 10,000 times. He said, "No, I have not. I have successfully discovered 10,000 ways that did not work." See, that should be the right attitude, right? So he discovered it after 10,000 tries. One of my favorite stories is that I read about is an elderly gentleman out in California. He knew he had a great recipe for fried chicken, and so he had a station wagon out. This is in the 1970s. He drove all up and down the coast, stopping at all the different restaurants and trying to get them to buy his recipe. He had to go to 1,027 restaurants before any of them were willing to buy his secret recipe. Well, one restaurant did and said, "We'll give you a nickel for every piece of chicken that we sell." He, of course, became a multimillionaire, Colonel Sanders Kentucky Fried Chicken. Imagine if he stopped after 500 or 800 or 900 tries. He didn't. He persevered. See, even in this world, perseverance is such a great quality. Walt Disney went broke 7 times in trying to build his movie studios and his parks, 7 times, but he persevered. So when we look at that and then apply that principle of perseverance to the spiritual life, we see in the first reading, Abraham persevering in prayer. God, don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. What if there's 50, 40, 30, 20, 10 people? See, he persevered. St. Paul says that I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have finished the course. See, perseverance. And of course, the greatest example in the lives of the saints is St. Monica, who prayed for her son's conversion for 20 years. From the time he was 13 and drifted away from the Lord to the time he was 33 and had his conversion, St. Monica never gave up praying for Augustine. What if she had stopped after 10 years or 15 years or 19 years? In fact, she would have kept praying even if it took 30 or 40 years. Eventually, Augustine did convert. He got baptized. He became a priest, became a bishop, a doctor of the church, and one of the greatest saints in the history of the church because of the persevering prayer of his saintly mother, Monica. And in the meantime, she became a saint as well because she prayed for 20 years. See how God is very sneaky. When we pray for others, we ourselves grow in holiness when we persevere in prayer. So that is the lesson from today's gospel. How do we pray, Lord? We pray by using the Our Father as our model and our pattern for all of our prayers. But then Jesus says, pray with perseverance. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking.